the climate, there's active chambers and active business organizations in small towns and in the entire county across Hunterdon County. Mm-hmm. That's a great sign to know that there is there's stories to be told.
Yeah.
So we look at all different types of factors when we're making those decisions.
Wow. And do you guys do like site visits and stuff to try and figure this out, or you do online research? What's the
both? Yeah, not. We go to as many places as possible, and mm-hmm. we talk to as many people as possible, and we work very closely with that publisher too, because obviously Conejo Valley, California is somewhere that I don't have a lot of experience with.
Sure.
So working with the publisher there to figure out that definition, and it's really how people identify themselves. Do they define themselves as a Bucks Countyan or a Hunter Countyan, or do they define themselves as someone from Lambertville? And obviously that varies across the board, but we do our best to represent the biggest vision.
Cool. Now, how does somebody get in touch with you in terms of either being a publisher in another state, another town, or other opportunities that Happening Media, as it's growing, you're going to be looking for?
The best way is to go to happeningsmedia.com.
Okay.
You'll see a contact form, and there's a drop-down box with options such as, I want to become a publisher, I want to work with you, I want to advertise, and the form will adjust to whichever question you choose, or if it's just a general inquiry, we're always happy to hear from people.
And Tina's not sleeping, so don't worry about
it. Right, exactly. You might get a message at 2 a.m., but that's okay.
Oh, my. You need to work on that. That's gonna...
No, it's been a crazy couple of weeks specifically because of these events. But we do have a lot of fantastic people that we work with who make it manageable.
Well, I'm so happy I got you to come in here and talk about this, because I learned a ton about what you are all about. And I wish you and your sister and the rest of the organization all the best, because I think it's their people are thirsty for this type of thing. So thank you for doing it. Have a great time tonight. Knock 'em dead. And I wish I could be there. I know you had invited me, but I had another invitation to go somewhere else tonight. So I'm going to look in awe as you guys walk down the red carpet tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Let's stay in touch, Tina. I got more to talk to you about as we keep going on. But as Hunterdon Happening grows, I'd love to get more insight into what's happening in Hunterdon, because that's what my job's all about.
Exactly.
And maybe I can become the best DJ. Never.
There you go.
Get that on the list next year.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you and your sister for everything you're doing.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
That is Tina Paparone and Hunterdon Happening Media, and they're having their big bash. It's been my pleasure to be with you, as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'll be back again tomorrow morning, same time. Vincent Arlino says, never say I should have. Well, hey, go out and check out Happening, Hunterdon Happening. Find out all about the articles and the best of, and learn about your county. It's a big, consolidated piece of information right there at your fingertips. Tech Today is up next. Stay tuned, and good morning, Hunterdon, Hunterdon Chamber, Raritan County. Coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. Baltimore is on high alert after a night of violence led to destruction and injured officers. Baltimore Police Commissioner Anthony Batts says he expects all officers injured during riots to recover. Jamal Cooper was among those out on the streets overnight and tells Fox News that the racial tensions in the city are at a boiling point.
I don't condone this or in any form or fashion, but I understand where these young black men, how they feel.
During a late night Monday press conference, Batts said at least 15 officers have been injured in the unrest, with six suffering serious injuries. He also confirmed extra resources are heading into Baltimore. The National Guard is also on the ground. The family of Freddie Gray is calling for an end to the violence. Frederica Gray says her twin brother would not have wanted it this way. The death toll in the Nepal earthquake is now past 4,400 and climbing. The vast majority of the dead are in Nepal. More than 8,000 people are injured. Aid and rescue workers are using their hands to dig through the rubble of Saturday's 7.8 magnitude quake. This is USA Headline News.
If you have trouble remembering names, if problems with focus or mental clarity are affecting your work, or if you have an aging parent in mental decline, please listen closely to this important message. A team of neuroscientists with the University of Massachusetts Lowell has developed Perceptive, a breakthrough nutritional supplement. Independent research funded by accredited organizations like the Alzheimer's Association, National Institute on Aging, and the National Science Foundation shows that Perceptive is highly effective at improving cognitive performance, memory recall, and focus, and it may help reduce cognitive decline due to aging. In as little as 2 weeks, subjects taking Perceptive reported dramatic improvements in memory and clarity. Perceptive is now available through this exclusive radio offer. Call 800-994-0805, and we will rush you a free one-month supply. Again, call 800-994-0805. That's 800-994-0805 for your free 30-day supply. Call 800-994-0805 now.
More than 1,000 people will begin cleaning up today after the riots that have wracked Baltimore. Myra Keene is among those already out this morning and picking up the mess.
It was my civic duty to come out to restore my neighborhood, to clean up. I seen a young man on TV out here by himself cleaning, so I brought out my old cedar, and I found a trash can while I was walking up the street, and I just started picking up trash.
Myra Keene says she has good faith that some good will come of this.
We're a God-red family, and without God, you can't do nothing.
Good afternoon. Sorry for the delay, but traffic on Route 31 South was worse than usual. and with the delays, other delays, and I'm sorry I'm starting late. But let me play a couple commercials, and then I'll be back with the weather and the program. The program, of course, is It's the Law, and today we're going to talk about some of the recent cases and statutes. So let me just get us caught up a bit on sponsors, and then we'll be back.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutterton Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hutterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hutterton-chamber.org.
Well, what's the weather today, this beautiful Friday? I guess it was, actually. It was windy, blustery, but there was certainly, it was sunny and not raining or snowing. So what does that mean for the weekend? Well, tonight's partly cloudy, and then tomorrow we can expect partly sunny, then a chance of showers. So try to get out there in the morning, because Saturday night we can expect about a 60% chance of showers, then going up to 90%. So we should expect rain tomorrow night. During the day, about 52 degrees, pretty seasonal. And Sunday, again, we're going to start out with breezy showers. And then it's likely, hopefully, partly sunny in the afternoon. And about 50 degrees tomorrow. That's Sunday, about 50 degrees on Sunday, 46 degrees tomorrow. Sunday night, partly cloudy and breezy, and then partly cloudy. And, of course, when most of us have to go back to work on Monday, it should be mostly sunny, high of about probably low 40s. And by Tuesday, again, another looks like mostly sunny, so high of about 51 degrees, and that should be good. Can't tell you what's going to happen farther along or what's going to happen for Thanksgiving. So some predictions have actually said we can't we can expect possibility of snow. Well, I guess we have to hope that that won't be the case and that we have a nice, beautiful, sunny day. I certainly know there's some golfers who still like to play on Thanksgiving. And, in fact, I remember one who really would even enjoy going out on Christmas as long as there was not a foot of snow. But, of course, now, unless they've taken care of the leaves, we're seeing a lot of leaves around, so I doubt that it'll be easy to find golf balls if you try to go out on the golf course. So that's the weather. I'm Pat Smits. The program is It's the Law. And I'm going to, actually, there's been so much politics going on and a lot of questions about the changes in the tax law from most of us should be really concerned about the taxes. Because I happen to be an attorney who does divorce work, this is going to be drastic changes if, in fact, they change the way they're expecting to do so with respect to payment of alimony and the recipient who's getting alimony. Right now, under our current law, someone who pays alimony based on a certain amount of payments, certain amount of time, etc., is able to deduct the payments, and the person receiving the alimony pays taxes. And this means that alimony is paid by a higher income spouse to a lower income spouse. And so it helps because there's more money because it's taxed at the lower the recipient's tax rate rather than at the payor's tax rate. So this is going to be significant with respect to alimony payments if that goes through. Of course, most people would say, well, so what? You know, they're just paying their fair share of taxes. But there are other things that are going to be significant for people in high tax states like New Jersey, meaning income taxes, property taxes, will no longer be able to deduct, you know, property taxes or income taxes. And certainly anyone that at least in this state is considered middle class could likely see a very high increase in their taxes. So I won't say anything more about that at this point because we really don't know what the final tax plan should be. However, I think we should all be concerned that there really has to be time and effort put into reviewing the complicated changes that are in the tax code. So what else is happening? Well, legal news that goes along with political news is that there's a second Menendez trial is seen as likely because the deadlock in the jury, and this is, of course, the trial if you've been under a bushel and haven't been paying attention to any news, especially legal and political news, U.S. Senator Bob Menendez was on Thursday, just yesterday, there was a mistrial declared in his two-month corruption trial. And if, the question is whether or not the prosecutors or former, the prosecutors, if they will retry him. And apparently a number of former prosecutors are predicting that in the wake of the mistrial that he likely is going to face another trial, a retrial. So what happens? People said, well, you can only be tried once. Well, technically, yes, if you're found, not guilty, meaning that it doesn't mean that you're innocent, but if you're found not guilty, they can't try you again. However, if there is a deadlock and a mistrial is called for any reason, if a mistrial is declared, then the person can be retried on the same charges. And there can be mistrials for many reasons, but the main reason is usually that a jury says that they're hopelessly deadlocked. And the judge in those cases, when a jury initially says they're deadlocked, the judge will ask them to go back and see if they can reach a consensus. But when that is not done, as in this case, then there is a mistrial. So that is pretty significant, obviously, in this case. Now, there's another criminal law case that was approved for publication, and it had to do, well, let me just explain what it is. Now, the state of New Jersey in this case appealed from the sentencing judge's order denying the state's request to enter as part of the plea agreement reached between it and the defendant a civil consent judgment for restitution to the victims of the defendant's theft. And also from a form of order denying
Terry Sheridan has more.
It's called cramming, in which the phone companies add unauthorized charges for wallpaper, ringtones, and other services. AT&T and T-Mobile have settled charges with the Federal Trade Commission, but the deadline for AT&T customers to apply for a refund is May 1st. T-Mobile customers have until June 30th. Schumer is calling on the FTC to both publicize and extend the deadlines. Terry Sheridan, New York.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
I don't know
Hunterdon
why this
Medical
is
Center
happening.
Was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800.
Okay, I guess whatever happened, I'm certainly not a mechanical engineer, so whatever happened, I think we've straightened out now, and we're back to the program rather than overlapping program and news. I think something had not been, something hadn't been done. In any event, so what I'm, the case I just talked about is that the appellate division then affirmed, concluding that the legislature did not confer statutory authority on a sentencing judge to enter a civil consent judgment in favor of a crime victim. So that was the issue here. It's that the state tried to, and it would have been, you know, obviously easy if, in fact, there had been a consent judgment. However, the trial judge said that the trial judge could not do that, and the appellate court affirmed, saying that they really were not able to do that because a statutory authority would have to be granted to the trial judge, and the legislature did not confer statutory authority on a sentencing judge to enter a civil consent judgment in favor of a crime victim. So what this means, of course, is if the legislature wants to do something like that, they have to enact a law, because otherwise the trial judges do not have the right under our statutes to do this. So the next thing, what else has been done? Well, somebody just been walking in, so I'm sorry I'm kind of getting off track here. So, you know, just a few days ago, of course, trial watchers were expecting a few more days of deliberations for the Menendez jury, but of course we know that they didn't, and so the judge did declare a mistrial. Now, there's been an interesting ruling, at least for attorneys, within the New Jersey Supreme Court, granted a firm, Archer and Greiner, leave to appeal a ruling subjecting it to a six-year statute of limitations for legal malpractice instead of the Pennsylvania two-year limit. Now, of course, Archer and Greiner has offices both in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania, and as those of us who know statute of limitations means, that the time in which someone can file a lawsuit, so that the question here was, should Archer and Greiner been subjected to the six-year statute of limitations or for some malpractice? It has nothing to do with whether or not there was malpractice. It has to do with the time in which a plaintiff must bring the lawsuit. And New Jersey has a six-year statute of limitations, which is very long. And Pennsylvania and many other states have a two-year limit. What else is happening? Well, an Essex County jury awarded $1.2 million to a high school student who sustained a severed nerve in her left leg during surgery to remove a bone growth. So that was a fairly substantial, very substantial award. In other news, the attorney's pledge of anticipated counsel fees to pay off a debt can be considered an account receivable under the Uniform Commercial Code. This was something that the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled, and so apparently this pledge and the, let me see, this was a, I think this is the case. In the appeal, the court considered whether the 2000 and 2001 financial agreements between plaintiffs and the defendant, which was the city of Jersey City, incorporated certain amendments to the long-term tax exemption law. And then in any event, the lower court granted in this particular case, which is not the one I just mentioned, the Supreme Court did not write a plenary opinion in the case, meaning that they usually write opinions. Instead, the court affirmed the judgment of the appellate division substantially for the reasons expressed in that court's opinion. So most often when the Supreme Court takes a case or has a right or has to take the case based on different rules, they do publish an opinion. But in this case, they said they didn't have to, and they simply accepted the appellate division's opinion. So that now is the ruling law. There was another tax case. This was an appellate case, not a Supreme Court case. This was on leave to appeal. So the appellate court granted leave to appeal, and they reversed a law division case that granted partial summary judgment in favor of the plaintiffs and limited liability companies that qualify as urban renewal entities. And again, this was under this long-term tax exemption law, the LTTE law, very specific and certainly rather esoteric for most people, and including attorneys, because we don't deal with these things. They're very specialized attorneys, or I should say attorneys who specialize in this type of work that deal with these types of cases. But in this case, what the city of Jersey City claims the plaintiffs attempted to circumvent a tax abatement agreement by improperly changing their allowable profit rate so as to avoid paying the city any excess net profit. And the plaintiff's complaint sought a declaratory judgment against the city, declaring that the party's financial agreements incorporate future changes to the LTTE law, such that the plaintiff said that they may calculate their, quote, allowable profit rate, end quote, in accordance with amendments to the LTTE law. Now, these amendments were enacted a couple of years after their initial agreement. And the city argued that the motion court misinterpreted the earlier financial agreements, warranting reversal. And so what the appellate division ruled is that they found it contrary to fundamental public financing concepts for the legislature to adjust the terms of municipal tax abatement contracts after the fact. And so they pointed out the statute, which is 20-2 and 40A:12A-2. And they further found that the legislature did not intend to do so in the amendments to the statute. And so they issued an unpublished opinion in 2016 on this issue. And then at the discretion of the court, they were now permitted to publish this opinion. So this is a little confusing, perhaps. Not all decisions are published, either trial court or appellate court. And what happened in this case is, even though they issued the opinion on July 22, 2016, the court, and I believe it was the Supreme Court then in this case, now directed that this case be published. So that's why it was published so, over a year after, in fact, they came down with the opinion. So what's happened up until this time is no one could rely on that opinion. And now that it's published, they can rely on it. Well, let's give you a little information about some of our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
I guess we need to tell Chris that he better update some of his spots, since those of us who listen realize that this is something from last Thursday, the 9th. Actually, if you didn't come to the expo, it was well attended. good food. I mean, the restaurants are really outdoing themselves. In fact, it was enough to eat supper rather than go home and have to cook. So I appreciated that. But it was fun to see friends, and that's a good place to come out. Introduce yourself if people don't know you. Good place for chamber members, and other people come also. But it's always fun. I saw some, met some new people. In fact, I met some people who came here from Illinois, recent residents, just moved in recently. So it was nice to see people from the Midwest. And I'm always pleased to see that Midwesterners move to New Jersey and find it beautiful. And, of course, after coming out of the cornfields of Illinois to come to New Jersey in the fall with our changing colors and our trees and our hills and, of course, our deer, this is a nice place to live. And those of us who came here many years ago expecting only to be here for a few years and are still here probably agree with me. Unfortunately, many people are leaving New Jersey, mainly because of taxes. But, and frankly, you know, I always laugh at all the bad jokes about New Jersey because, you know, we get a bad rap. But in fact, we have a beautiful state. I understand some of the criticism, but at least it's a beautiful place, especially in Hunterdon County, to live. I enjoy, and I'm sure many people enjoy, going to Clinton on a beautiful day. There are lots of people in Clinton, and hopefully more will be in Flemington. Unfortunately, those of us who have been here for a while, you know, really, I remember the days, I guess I'm not that old, but I remember the days, and I'm sure many of you remember the days where we would have lunch at the Union Hotel. So in any event, I'll be back after a couple more spots from sponsors, and hopefully they won't be all from last week and things that people have attended.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The wife of embattled Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore says her husband will not drop out of the race. Kaylana Moore says she and her husband have received overwhelming support from Alabamians.
We've just been inundated with so much positive response from the people of Alabama.
She says voters care more about the issues than the allegations against him.
Fighting for life, fighting against abortion, fighting for the acknowledgement of God, fighting for traditional marriage, and fighting to protect the Second Amendment, and fighting for our rights given by God, protected by our Constitution.
Republican Moore has vigorously denied numerous accusations of sexual misconduct. During a rally in Montgomery today, a number of female supporters spoke out in support of Moore. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-361-4221. That's 800-361-4221. 800-361-4221. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, we're back. Sorry about that. I was speaking into a dead mic. We're back with It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits, and as you can tell, somewhat disorganized today. But let's get back and talk about what's new in, well, we know from the news, of course, judge from Alabama is in probably a situation that he would not like to be in. And I think what I always suggest to people is read the information before we make quick judgments. However, in this case, the articles that were published, especially in the Washington Post, the initial articles, were really very well researched, documented, vetted. And so the spin, of course, is that all of these women and children made this up. I mean, the tragedy is that anyone who thinks that this doesn't come out or should come out immediately, or especially minors would say something about sexual abuse, they really are not aware of what happens. And so often women do a couple things. Children, of course, are afraid to tell. I know of situations where the perpetrator threatened the child that he would kill her family if she ever said anything. Very often, a child will go to the other parent, and the other parent doesn't believe them because either the boyfriend or the stepfather or the father denies it, and they think the child is making it up, when in fact the child is not. And often, with women, they really can't and don't feel they can jeopardize their careers. And this has been the problem for so many years. And you scratch the surface, and unfortunately, there are many women and even men and both male and female children who have, in fact, been sexually abused, and it creates just havoc in their life. But in any event, we're now seeing what's happening with Judge Moore. Very, very serious. And, of course, now the allegations against Senator Franken from Minnesota, who, in fact, has at least admitted what went on. And his investigation, he's welcoming an ethics investigation. So I think that so many people just deny, deny, deny. On the other hand, there are those people, including a well-known actor, most of you know if I gave his name, which is not necessary. I mean, he acknowledged it. Excuse me. So that is so important because these children feel like they can't say anything. Women and even men feel that they can't say anything, and they're victimized when they do, and they're victimized over and over. Now, it's no longer possible in New Jersey to, in case of rape, that they can just go after the victim in the way that happened years ago. In other words, you know, the victim's sex life should not be on trial. What the issue is whether or not there has been a rape, and of course, in most of these cases, and a lot of date rape, there's no one around. There's no one who can testify, and it's a he said, she said. Makes it very, very difficult to prosecute. Well, that is my spiel on that part of the news, and you know, I think that the Republican Party is in a real dilemma right now. But I did find it interesting that the president, I have not heard him come out and say anything about the judge, but he did. He was quick to say something about Senator Franken. So whatever your views, you know, they should be the same irrespective of who it is. And, of course, I think that the president has problems in this in light of his own accusations and in light of the fact that, you know, there was a lot on tape. What is troubling, however, is that anyone who would say that they would vote for a Republican candidate, irrespective of whether he was a pedophile, rather than voting for a Democrat, is, I can't believe that our country has come to this. And if it was the other way around, I would say the same thing. In other words, are we so divided that we would support someone who is a pedophile rather than supporting someone in the other party or not voting? I mean, at least not voting for someone like that. And people will say, well, he's not going to be prosecuted. Well, of course, in the case of the judge, he can't be prosecuted because of the length of time that has passed. And so you can't just say, oh, well, they're not going to prosecute him. I heard that just myself in connection with the case I'm involved in recently. And the other attorney said, well, they're not going to prosecute my client. The prosecutor's office was advised, and they said they're not going to prosecute. Well, the case involves a child who's now about 5 years older than when this incident took place. She did not disclose it for years. She did disclose it, and of course the prosecutor's office is saying, this is pretty much a quote, the detective, not from this county, detective said that they don't prosecute unless there's proof of penetration. That's, you know, and that may be their standard, but that doesn't mean that the sexual incident didn't take place. I think everyone would agree, the case I'm talking about, it was absolutely inappropriate. And the fact that the prosecutor's office doesn't prosecute those cases doesn't make it appropriate. And the question in these cases seems to me, and I argued and will argue, that the issue should be the protection of the child. And that is the most important thing, is the protection of the child. Of course, if the child is lying, that's another situation. However, in most of these cases, the child will describe the incident or incidents in a way that a child wouldn't know about unless it actually happened. Because, you know, young children, if they're graphically describing a sexual encounter, you know, where would they know that from? Television? I doubt it. So, in any event, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but it is really very troubling when someone would actually say that they would vote for a pedophile rather than a person in the other party. And, of course, the other question is, you know, how much pressure should the, in this case, the Republican Party, put on the candidate to get out of the race? And there's that goes to another issue. But in any event, what else is happening as far as the law? Well, there is a case, an administrative case, and I'm not sure versus which township this was, but in any event, this was an appellate division case that held that the municipal health ordinance that imposes time limitations on indoor smoking in a tobacco retail establishment is not superseded by the New Jersey Smoke-Free Air Act. And the appellants in this case operated a cigar emporium where customers could purchase and smoke cigars and pipe tobacco. Makes a lot of sense. It was a place where people would go in to purchase cigars and pipe tobacco. So as a result of that, the store qualified as a tobacco retail establishment under the Smoke-Free Act. And thus, as a result, the Smoke-Free Act doesn't prohibit indoor smoking in such an exempt establishment. And I think all of us, even those of us who are really anti-smoking, certainly can understand that if somebody is going into a store to buy cigars or pipes or tobacco, and in fact that is an exempt, it's a tobacco retail establishment, that they should be able to do that. And the municipal health ordinance, the fact that there is a municipal health ordinance against smoking in public places, you know, can't go that far. And I think that's some of the problems sometimes. You know, there should be logic and there should be reason in all of the enforcement of these ordinances. But in any event, this health ordinance that limited indoor smoking to pre-purchase sampling, it was not to exceed 2 minutes. Now, you know, if the ordinance had been reasonable, I'm sure that it wouldn't have been challenged if they said, you know, something like an hour or even half an hour. But 2 minutes for someone to go in and sample, et cetera, is really unreasonable. I think most people from a common sense standpoint would say that. But in any event, the appellants challenged the ordinance, arguing that the Smoke-Free Act superseded it. And they also argued that the ordinance was really a land use ordinance and did not apply to their pre-existing non-conforming use. That's an interesting argument because, of course, these ordinances and even laws, there are people, establishments, etc., that have a pre-existing non-conforming use. And so then it becomes a more difficult question. But in any event, the Smoke-Free Act states that it supersedes any other statute, municipal ordinance, rule, or regulation pursuant to law concerning smoking in an indoor public place or workplace. The provision, however, identifies three exceptions, and they include where smoking is prohibited by a municipal ordinance under certain authority, where smoking is prohibited by any statute regulation adopted pursuant to law, and that would be protecting life and property from fire or protecting public health, and provisions of a municipal ordinance which provide restrictions on or prohibitions against smoking equivalent to or greater than those provided under the Act. So, in this case, the municipal ordinance was within the ambit of all three exceptions. And so they also hold that the ordinance is a valid municipal health ordinance and it is not a land use ordinance. Now, of course, in this case, they then affirmed the dismissal of appellant's action in lieu of prerogative writs and the denial of their request to invalidate the municipal smoking ordinance. So, you know, read that case if you want to see how far government may go in their ordinances. So the
That is exactly what that said. Three exceptions to that provision where it says that the Smoke-Free Act supersedes any other statute. And in this case, I'll just read it because it's a little confusing. There are a number of contractual disputes. However, they have not been cases that were published. There have been a lot of news this week about the Menendez case, of course, and there was a question about whether or not the trial was floundering, and there was deadlock earlier, and questions about whether or not there would be a unanimous verdict. And, of course, there has to be a unanimous verdict, or the alternative is a mistrial. So Ferring Pharmaceuticals of Parsippany faces a growing number of lawsuits over alleged manufacturing defects that reduce the efficacy of the fertility drug. That's Bravil. So that apparently they're saying that that was not as good as it claimed. Now, New Jersey has a new assembly, a jury assembly. On Monday, elected Democratic Craig Coughlin to become the next speaker, making him actually the first attorney who's been chosen as speaker in the past 15 years. So I guess they don't think that attorneys speak well or whatever. This may not be of much interest, but the purpose of scheduling a settlement conference is to help litigants resolve a case. And before the conference even begins, however, some actions of an individual party or his or her representatives may potentially cripple the chances of success. And this is talking about, this document dumping, which is can't and shouldn't be done in case the settlement conference doesn't work. Now, there's also confidentiality, and there's a lot of truth in the saying that it takes years to build a reputation and only seconds to destroy it. And this comment was, yet some bad reputations are well deserved, and talks about Robert Ailes and Bill O'Reilly, both formerly of Fox News. Harvey Weinstein, formerly of Weinstein Company, TWC, and Roy Price, formerly of Amazon, are just a few examples. And as we're seeing more and more of the inappropriate sexual conduct is coming out, and no longer appears that victims feel like they have to hide and not disclose. And I think that is exactly why there are so many disclosures now. It's the fact that women and children and others feel that they can actually disclose things that they would have been afraid to disclose years ago. And even some of these things obviously happened many years ago. There was a case that raises questions about the limits of an arbitration clause in a law firm retainer agreement, and a New Jersey judge has declined to invalidate such a clause used by a prominent law firm and in their bid to recover upwards of $400,000 in allegedly unpaid fees. So the issue there is the agreement talked about the arbitration clause, and was that going to be upheld? And in this case, the trial judge did not invalidate the clause, which means that everybody has to abide by whatever the law firm put in their agreement with respect to arbitration. I think that recently, at least back in October, they were talking about in the Menendez trial
they were talking about going to the Supreme Court, and they wanted to wait until the Supreme Court made a decision whether or not the at that point they had asked the federal judge hearing the corruption case to put an evidentiary dispute on hold while he awaits reply of his petition from the Supreme Court. I think we can safely say we don't have to worry about that any longer because we don't. So let me play now just a couple more spots, and then we're pretty much going to be finished with this. And again, not a lot of information on this one. So let's us just kind of end the program with some of the spots and then the news.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you in business? Not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, that's it for today. I'll be back with the sports guys, and hopefully John Manfreda will be joining me. And I also hope to have a guest on the telephone if we can work that out. A very diehard Eagles fan who probably wants to gloat a bit. So we'll be back after the news.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The wife of embattled Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore says her husband will not drop out of the race. Kaylana Moore says she and her husband have received overwhelming support from Alabamians.
We've just been inundated with so much positive response from the people of Alabama.
She says voters care more about the issues than the allegations against him.
Fighting for life, fighting against abortion, fighting for the acknowledgement of God, fighting for traditional marriage, and fighting